Necessarily go into a lot of detail on all these verses, but we are going to go in a great deal of detail on a few of these verses as Paul is here defending his gospel ministry, his apostleship, in the context of some in Corinth who were opposing him. And yet he gets to some really profound kind of spiritual principles for all of us. And that's what we're going to be considering in this next message series on dismantling strongholds, a vision for prayer. He says this, "I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I, who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away, I beg you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness and with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect me of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." What is prayer for? What is prayer for? Well, a lot of times we think of prayer as the help we need from God with the problems we have. And it is. But one purpose of prayer is for war. Prayer is for war. And this is an often neglected purpose of prayer. Many people sort of have the idea prayer is kind of luxury hotel room service, asking God to kind of help me out a little bit, to have a nicer life here. But prayer is for dismantling strongholds. That's one of its purposes. This is going to be our focus in our January messages. A vision for prayer for dismantling strongholds. And for some, you're like, oh, okay, I kind of know what you're talking about, where you're going, and you're kind of ready to hear it. Others, you may say, well, what are you talking about? What is this? What do you mean by prayer that dismantles strongholds? How can that be, and how can that be prayer for me? So we're considering this vision from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, particularly verses 3 for 5, through 5, which is really the anchor text of today's message and this entire series throughout this month, as we are, of course, paralleling the Dismantling Strongholds 21 Days of Prayer emphasis that we have here at Trinity and in partnership with Metro Send West. So I'd like us just to take a quick look at this idea of strongholds in one of the verses that emerges there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And it's particularly verse 3, as we're just sort of warming up to the idea and the whole principle entail here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Paul is a human being. Yes, you know that, right? But he's not fighting with human kinds of means. He's in this war, but it's not a battle of bombs and guns and violence, of course. We know that. It is a spiritual war, and he's not fighting then with human methods, but he's fighting with approach of God and trusting God. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. We're going to be considering this today, just some aspects of dismantling strongholds in prayer as we sort of cast this vision. We're going to talk about being aware. We're going to talk about care with gospel dare. And that's what Paul does, and that's what we do too. And then we're going to zero heavily in on prayer, what it is, how it fits with this, and then where. Where do we pray? What are we praying for? And casting a bit of vision, and hopefully for all of us, we're seeing this is our life as a believer, dismantling strongholds in prayer. This is a part of what Prayer is part of what we are called to, and we're focusing especially on this in this 21 days of prayer. And I hope we're capturing this vision, and many are saying, hey, I'm in. I've got the book, and I'm not just going to have the book, but I'm going to actually use this time to engage in prayer. And yes, the prayers and ideas you suggest, that'll be great, but I'm going to take this even further in the ways that God wants to apply it in my life and in my prayer life. So first, we have to be aware of strongholds, and that's what we're going to talk about. We got to know that strongholds do exist. We have to understand what strongholds are, and we have to notice the places strongholds show up in us and around us, because they are all around us, and sometimes our frustration is because we're not acknowledging that there are such a thing as strongholds, and we're trying to counter these with human methods rather than divine ones. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, and just a little bit of background. I've already referenced this. Paul was ministering to the church of Corinth. For years, there had been a faction there that had opposed Paul's apostolic ministry. Paul had countered this faction with gospel ministry and proper care and compassion and courage and confidence and capacity centered in the gospel. The gospel was his method of continuing to minister there and to bring those folks around. So this church, where there had been a lot of people saying, who's Paul, and sort of undermining Paul and saying, that Paul guy, he's kind of like this when he's here and he's different when he's away. And they were accusing him of wrong motives. And he's saying, no, I don't minister according to the flesh, a worldly motive seeking power and pride and greed. And Paul now is at a point in writing this letter where a lot of the folks there had come around, basically. The majority of the church had come around and say, yep, Paul is legitimate. He's doing legitimate apostolic gospel ministry. And because of their alignment with the gospel, they are now more in alignment with Paul. But there is still a remaining small group of false teachers there, as Paul's getting to this point in 2 Corinthians. And if you're reading 2 Corinthians, this is the way you have to make sense of it. Paul is defending his apostleship because he needs to defend his apostleship to defend the gospel. And as Paul defends the gospel and more people align with the gospel and gospel aligned thinking and believing, more and more people there at Corinth come in the line and say, oh yeah, Paul is legitimate and he's doing the right stuff. This small faction that still exists is why Paul's kind of going on right here. He's beginning to address that because he's going to show up there and he says, hey, if I show up, I'm not going to be Mr. Nice. You may think of me as Mr. Nice, maybe, because there is a proper kind of humility and compassion of gospel ministry, but I'm not going to be Mr. Nice. I'm going to minister in the authority of the gospel and address these issues if they still exist. So here's where we are then. Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Strongholds here are God-opposing fortifications. And these God-opposing fortifications that people have, families have, cultures have, sometimes churches have, Corinth was one and did, these God-opposing fortifications are strongholds. They're all over the place. And when you're looking and saying, now that doesn't make any sense. It may be a stronghold. When you see things that are stuck in people, family, churches, systems, when it's like, what? It's a mess. It doesn't make any sense. We're stuck. It's a mess. There's no peace, joy, goodness coming out of this. Why? Likely a stronghold. We're going to consider these strongholds today, and you say, you mean there's a way that these things that are God opposing can be broken down, dismantled? Yes. I'm going to tell you today, we're going to show you today, that really can happen. And it happens not through some kind of human system, mechanistic methods, techniques and technology. It happens through gospel ministry. Gospel ministry proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and aligning with Him and His truth, gospel ministry dismantles strongholds. And that's what we're going to be seeing in more of today. Now, let's understand a little more about what strongholds are. What are strongholds, and how it is that they inhibit gospel ministry and gospel fruitfulness? Because when we're trying to grow, or you're trying to heal a family, or trying to see a church be healthy, or trying to see a community reach, or trying to see a nation change, or a world impacted by the gospel, strongholds are opposing everything that's good and fruitful. Strongholds are like, no way, I don't want that God stuff, and this is the problem. And I want us to consider 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This is really important. Paul tells us exactly what strongholds are. We don't have to be like, oh, I don't know. It's like, let's look at the Greek and Hebrew. And I'll tell you a little bit about some of those in a minute. But these things that exist are a place of protection and fortification against God. And we know this. Strongholds are wrong ideas and worldviews, attitudes, wherever they are, whatever they are, that oppose God. When we were singing that song about that fear wouldn't stand, where does fear come from? Well, in many ways, a stronghold of wrong thinking that says God doesn't have it and I can't get by without, depending on myself and how I pull it off, therefore I'm fearful, right? And any kind of stronghold is some kind of a lie, a distorted idea about God. Ideas, worldviews, attitudes, materialism, secularism, LGBTQ ideology, all of it, everything. Trusting your country, all of it. Lies are strongholds. And Paul says this right here in 2 Corinthians 10, 5. We destroy arguments, that's ideas, people's position, and every lofty opinion. And that word "and" probably in the Greek here has the emphasis of even. He's defining it further. Their arguments, that is, lofty opinions, that's prideful ideas that people have, raised against the knowledge of God. And Paul says, and we take every thought, there it is again, captive to obey Christ. Though these are connected to spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6, they're not directly demonic all the time. They are ideas. And this, then, is a stronghold. Strongholds inhibit gospel ministry. They inhibit gospel fruitfulness in every way. They are the thing that's going on when you're saying, what's going on? And we need to understand that. I want us to look again at 2 Corinthians 10, 4. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, that is, we're not countering these things with human stuff. How smart we are, how much we can organize, how well we can implement our methodology and technology. Those things are pea shooters. They're not going to accomplish anything against strongholds. We have divine power to destroy strongholds. The word akouroma is the Greek word. It shows up over 30 times in the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. I always put LXX, but people don't know what LXX is. It's the Septuagint. LXX is Roman numerals for 70. Septuagint is because of 70 scholars who translated. But this Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, when they translated the Hebrew into the Greek, and this Bible was available in Paul's time and Jesus' time, this word stronghold is in that over 30 times. And oftentimes it's of a physical stronghold. Like David, when he was fleeing from Saul, he went into a stronghold, a fortification, a place where he could be safe from attack and stand against the enemy. And in the Old Testament, three or four different occasions, God is the stronghold of the believer. God is the place of fortification where we can stand against the attacks that come against us as people. Now, here's what's interesting. When Paul uses this word here, it's used in a negative sense. It's not the stronghold in God, it's the stronghold against God. And in one sense, either you are finding your stronghold in God or you're finding your stronghold against God. Your strongholds against God are going to seek to keep out the power and working of God. And here's the interesting thing. The other usage of this word stronghold is prison in the Greek of Paul's time. So when you're in that stronghold against God, you are in the prison you created by keeping God out. So these strongholds keep everything good away. And where they exist, whether it's in the life of a believer or a non-believer, because of misalignment with God and his truth, by opposing him and saying, I cannot accept that, God, what you end up in is in captivity because of strongholds. And Paul counters these then with gospel ministry. We need to know and understand that strongholds then inhibit a gospel ministry. And Paul, of course, is aware of an enemy who works to foster lies and undermine gospel goals. And he doesn't counter this enemy with human mechanisms, but he counters this enemy with the gospel that is destroying strongholds. For you see people stuck where you're stuck, where families are stuck, where churches are stuck, where it seems like the things that are of God people think is ridiculous, and the things that are ridiculous people think are good, it's strongholds. And we have the divine power, Paul says, in the gospel, to dismantle strongholds. And I want us especially to consider how prayer is what God uses, which taps the power of God, calls out to God, trusts in God, aligns with God in advancing this work in us and this work through us. That's the vision we're talking about. Care with gospel dare and declare. We're just going to briefly review Paul's ministry. It was one of compassionate gospel ministry. It was one of courageous gospel ministry. It was one of compassionate declaration of the gospel. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:2, right? It was centered in what Jesus has done. We have this message, this glorious message in jars of clay, this treasure. We're weak, we're human, but the gospel is the treasure. The gospel is the power of God. And Paul makes this the centerpiece of his ministry because it is only the gospel that sets people free. And this, of course, is an ongoing ministry. It's a process. It's not just like waving your wand. But Paul destroyed strongholds by gospel ministry and by gospel power, truth, alignment, calling out to God. This demolishing then impacts our discipleship. I hope we would think first and foremost, as you're hearing this message, not about those guys over there. Not about, hey, there's one. And there's one, and there's one, and they're all over there. But we must start first with the strongholds in us. We must start first to say, Lord God, reveal and dismantle those areas in my life where my ideas are dug in against you. Because those are the very things that are going to cripple your fruitfulness and destroy your joy and peace. And then that gospel discipleship, the dismantling impacting us, then we're like, hey, now, like, hey, I'm on the demo crew. I'm on the crew of declaring the gospel, calling out to God, trusting in him, being a part of mission and ministry that is helping to set people free. People can be set free by the power of God as we join in the demo crew gospel ministry, mission, and discipleship. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and just see this word destroy. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but we have divine power to destroy. The same word is used again in verse 5 for destroying arguments, destroying the speculation, the prideful opinions that oppose God. Paul says, we have, by compassionate, courageous, apostolic gospel ministry and truth-based discipleship, we have the power to destroy, to dismantle strongholds. And of course, not in just, hey, just sort of surface level, we can do this, but in a way of when we align our lives with Jesus Christ, gospel ministry, and truth, we join the demo crew, we too dismantle strongholds. And that's where this vision of prayer is putting us, that we're not just like, oh, I'm praying just to get stuff that I need to get through the day. No, I'm praying now as an intercessor engaged in stronghold dismantling gospel ministry in partnership with God's people. And that's where we're partnering with the Metro Send West folks in this 21 days of prayer. They're asking us, they know they're engaged in some really tough ministry. They see spiritual strongholds that people just are dug in. They will not surrender to Jesus. It's culturally and family-wise and in every way just counter to anything anybody over there would do. And they're saying, how do we get these strongholds broken down? They say, we need to ask all the believers back in the States that sent us here to join us in prayer. We need you guys at Trinity and other churches to prayer ministry, see these strongholds broken down. And as we got the material from the Metro Send West folks, the Martins and others there, and we started reading this as we were thinking about using this for a prayer emphasis, we were like, wait a second. These same types of things are going on here. These same spiritual strongholds. Yeah, different culture, different time. It's not Islam. It's American secularism and all the nonsense around here. But the same spiritual dynamics are in play. So we then created a list of prayers parallel to theirs for breaking down strongholds here in gospel ministry here at Trinity. Can you join with us in this as we move into gospel ministry and mission here in 2025? Paul's always compassionate, courageous and bold if needed. And of course, we need that same kind of reality, not relying on the flesh. That would be worldly. That would be counter the whole idea of the fruit of the Spirit. But also not relying on human, not relying on worldliness. That's the first use of flesh in verse 2. But also not relying on that which is human. That's us. And I fear, brothers and sisters, a lot of times we rely on us. We rely on our personality, skill, persuasiveness, organization, structure, resources, etc. And what this is a call for, dismantling strongholds in prayer, is a call for reliance on God. Reliance on God. Gospel ministry dismantles strongholds. Now, Paul goes on, just a quick little word on 2 Corinthians 10, 4b, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We've heard that verse quoted, and I just want to clarify, oftentimes it's quoted out of context. When Paul says taking every thought captive, he's not talking primarily about our personal thoughts. Clearly in this context, if you follow down to verse 6, he's talking about disobedience and obedience. He's talking about discipleship and discipline. He's not talking about sort of the individual believer just saying, hey, I got to get all my thoughts captive. It applies to that. We're going to talk about that more next week. But really what he's talking about is gospel ministry and discipleship. And he's saying with this strong gospel ministry and discipleship, he's going to come in and say, all these thoughts that are opposed to God, all these strongholds, he's going to say, no, we're taking these captive and making them obedient to Christ. This is where believers ought to be, is every way obedient to Christ, no stronghold still existing. And of course, it applies to personal thoughts, but it's far bigger than that. It's gospel ministry, and that ministry shaping us as believers. Brothers and sisters, in prayer, we're sort of like SEAL Team, Army Ranger folks. Anybody like get inspired by that? We've got all these strongholds out there, but spiritually speaking, we have the power in God and the gospel to see these strongholds broken down. To see people who are in bondage to sin and darkness set free. And this growing sense of ministry, mission, impact flows from us and out of us in gospel ministry. And of course, prayer is such a big part of that. And that's what we're going to be focused on in these 21 days and hopefully growing in as a lifestyle. Gospel-believing, truth-embracing, God-trusting appeals. Asking God for what God can do, and we need to see God do. Prayer in these 21 days and as a lifestyle, as we turn in repentance, as we turn in trust, as we pray that others would turn in repentance and trust. Paul has been engaging in this in his ministry there with the folks in Corinth. He speaks of he's wielding weapons of righteousness in this battle. He's a warrior, a spiritual warrior, but he does so not in a human sense. Let's look once again at verse 4 and just consider the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons are not of the flesh, but have divine power. So though God uses Paul, God uses us, God uses all gospel-embracing believers, it is God that destroys strongholds. It's not us, it's God. And that's why God-trusting prayer is such an essential component of this dismantling. So where you see the strongholds and you want to see them dismantled, it's not about us. It's about God. So we call out to God, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but we have divine power in God and the gospel as we trust in God to destroy strongholds. Will you join with us in this 21 days of prayer focus to pray for the dismantling of strongholds? Amen. Let's partner with our Metro Senwest brothers and sisters for dismantling the strongholds there. Let's partner together with our TCC brothers and sisters for ministry and gospel mission here and in this region in 2025. We have divine power, which is in God as we trust in God. Paul is a prayer and encouraged praying for all kinds of aspects of gospel ministry. Just a few scriptures here, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11. You also must help us by prayer. For all his power he had, he knew he needed help by prayer. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. Your restoration is what we pray for. Even though Paul had this power of gospel ministry, God's power, he asked for them to pray, and he prayed. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. So I heard someone, a fellow believer, say something recently, and I got to thinking about what they said. And I've said something like this before, and I'm wondering if you've maybe said something like this before as well. And the phrase goes like this, I can only pray. or all I can do is pray, or I can't do anything except pray. Do you know how wrong that is? You know how messed up that is? It is as if we're lamenting that we can't show up with our toy water pistols purchased at Walmart and our ping pong pop guns. We're saying, man, I can't use my toy water pistols and my ping pong pop guns, but all I can use is high-tech smart bombs guided on missiles that can be targeted on the enemy and go in and smash them right out. That's all I can do. That's what prayer is. Prayer is the high-tech guided missiles of God to dismantle strongholds. And so much of the things that we think we're saying we can't do is just water pistols. It's human stuff. It's the best we can do. And our ping pong pop guns. Do you realize that even that thinking that says prayer is just prayer is probably reflective of a stronghold? A messed up kind of thinking that keeps us captive and keeps people from being liberated by gospel ministry. So if you've heard this call to 21 days and said, that's kind of one of those Pastor Bruce program things again. I don't even think it does that much good. Then I would appeal to you to say, is there a stronghold there? So where are we going to pray? What are we going to pray for? We're going to pray all over the place. All kinds of places and people and issues where you see God opposing strongholds. We're feeding you some stuff. Metro Send West is feeding you some stuff. I've got a list of some stuff, but I know you see stuff. Your life, your family, your perception of what's going on here, there, everywhere, friends, culture, whatever. And you're saying, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to pray that the gospel dismantles that. I'm going to pray for that person, that need, that issue, that place, wherever you see God opposing strongholds, there's the where to pray. And to keep then asking God, to intercede for God to dismantle these by his gospel power. I'm encouraged, because if we get all of us, or at least most all of us, praying to think of all the different places, all the different issues, all the different people, all the different dynamics where strongholds are being dismantled as we pray. Strongholds of resisting God, strongholds of pride, strongholds of twisting the truth, strongholds of rejecting the Bible, strongholds of fear, strongholds of people-pleasing, strongholds of opposing God's standard. The American dream is a stronghold. Strongholds of idols, of money, prosperity, strongholds of anxiety, hopelessness, strongholds of prayerlessness, whatever it is, strongholds, we pray. And God works by the gospel and his power to dismantle. How do we respond? Well, we are aware of strongholds that oppose God. We know that. We have to consider then the reality that when things are not the way they ought to be, there's usually strongholds that are in play. But because we care about people, we declare God's truth. We do so compassionately, courageously, but when necessary, with boldness, and maybe people won't think we're nice. We do so because we want to see strongholds dismantled. But the main weapon we wield is prayer. Prayer that embraces the truth, prayer that trusts God and sees the gospel move forward. We then lift up specific people, places, prayer, issues. And if you haven't believed in Jesus, maybe this message on strongholds, although it's in, directed primarily to believers. Maybe it's help you to see, wait a second, I need to be set free. I need to be set free, and only Jesus can set me free. And so turn to Jesus, believe the gospel, believe what he did can set you free, and his liberation is yours. And if you have believed in Jesus, of course, I know many of you have, then I think the Lord's Supper is a great place for us just to be focused on the deliverance that Jesus achieved for us on the cross. Colossians 1, verse 13, it is, he's the one that has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. And it's in him we have forgiveness. And so we celebrate that as we call out to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your work on the cross. We celebrate that now in the Lord's Supper. We take this bread and this cup in remembrance that you provided all that is necessary for us to be delivered from the dominion of darkness. You provided all that is necessary for our sins to be forgiven. Lord, help us to walk in the truth of the gospel, Lord, being shaped and molded by its power, aligning ourselves with you and your truth, Lord. Where there is any resistance, any stronghold within us, Lord, we repent of it. We turn from it, Lord. And those things don't stand a chance when we're standing in your love, Lord, but help us to stand in your love, your gospel love. And God, we pray that you would raise up here at Trinity an army of spiritual SEAL team and rangers, God, doing your work in gospel ministry, seeing people set free and strongholds dismantled. God, we pray for this emphasis. We pray for you to grow us through it, Lord, not just for this season, but for all of our ministry and all of our lives. We thank you, Lord, and commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we get ourselves into a state for communion, let us consider some of the names of God.
God with a thousand names, you've shown up a thousand ways. Your character has never changed, forever worthy, deserving of them all. Your reputation is of